When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
An Erio's original.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst-case scenario. In my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we talk about history's greatest tragedies and figure out who's to blame. Today we're discussing the death of Quibi. Here's what you need to know. It was Hollywood's most anticipated disruptive startup, backed by billions of dollars, high-profile investors, and A-list creators. Despite it all, Quibi's life was as short as its quick bites of content. The entire endeavor lasted only 6 months. After running Disney Studios, launching DreamWorks, and overseeing DreamWorks Animation until selling the studio to Comcast Universal for $3.8 billion, in 2018, Hollywood kingpin Jeffrey Katzenberg began to dream up his next empire. He quickly teamed up with billionaire CEO Meg Whitman, known for transforming eBay from a $4 million to an $8 billion company and running for California governor on a Republican ticket in 2010, which she lost. Meg Whitman had been following mobile trends for some time. Since 2012, mobile streaming had gone up from 6 minutes to a whopping 80 minutes per day. Katzenberg knew that with this unmatchable vision, they could create a premium version of the typically free mobile content found on YouTube or TikTok. Short for quick bites, Quibi would produce 6 to 10 minute long chunks of content that users would pay to access on their phone as they, say, stood in line for a sandwich. "We're making mobile moments extraordinary," Whitman said at a tech event prior to launching. "That means creating a technology platform optimized for people on the go and giving them a great entertainment experience in those in-between moments." The service would also feature a technology they called Turnstile, which would deliver different camera angles and viewing experiences of the same show depending on which way a viewer held the phone. With deep pockets and a reputation for going against the grain, Katzenberg and Whitman raised a total of $1.75 billion from high-profile investors, including all the major Hollywood studios, tech giants like Google, and financial companies like JP Morgan Chase and Goldman Sachs. The investments helped secure a slate of A-list directors and producers who found Quibi's format both challenging and inspiring. It turned out to be an incredibly fun challenge as a storyteller, said writer-director Veena Sud. Like running down a soccer field that was half the length I'm used to, with 20 additional players. Wireless, co-created by Steven Soderbergh, featured a man stranded in the mountains with a dying cell phone. If you turned your phone vertically, the view switched to the character's cell phone screen. Other shows included Dismantled, where blindfolded chefs get blasted in the face with a mystery dish shot out of a cannon and must recreate it based on taste. Chrissy's Court, starring Chrissy Teigen overseeing a small claims court. Sam Raimi's 50 States of Fright, featuring one of the few viral Quibi clips when Emmy winner Rachel Brosnahan died while donning a golden arm. And Dummy, starring Anna Kendrick as an aspiring writer who befriends her boyfriend's sex doll. Quibi launched on April 6, 2020 for $5 a month with ads, or $8 a month without. Users were offered a 90-day free trial. The app quickly rose to number 3 in Apple's App Store. But less than a week after launching, Quibi abandoned its initial hook that it would only be available by mobile device when Whitman announced Quibi would be formatted for the TV eventually. On October 21st, 2020, only 6 months into its launch, Quibi announced it would be shutting down completely. As reported by Wall Street Journal's Ben Mullen, after confirming the end of Quibi on a video conference with all of his employees, quote, an emotional Mr. Katzenberg suggested Quibi staffers listen to the song Get Back Up Again, sung by actress Anna Kendrick in the animated film Trolls, to buoy their spirits.
In a public letter, executives Jeffrey Katzenberg and Meg Whitman wrote, "It is with an incredibly heavy heart that today we are announcing that we are winding down the business and looking to sell its content and technology assets. Our failure was not for lack of trying. We've considered and exhausted every option available to us."
Fun facts, aka death stats. Following the announcement of Quibi's demise, some 250 employees were laid off and given severance packages. In total, Quibi raised $1.75 billion. By the end of its run, Jeffrey Katzenberg announced the company would return $350 million, or 2% of Quibi's total investments, to its investors. With us today, we have producer Clayton Early.
Hello, Alarmy.
Fact checker Chris Smith.
Hi.
And our very special guest today is friend, music manager, all-around music awesomeness, Noah Chernin. Hi, Noah.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us today to talk about this terrible tragedy that happened in 2020. Let's start off by
the tragedy of 2020.
I'm pretty sure it was the only bad tragedy of 2020. Can you think of any others?
Nope, nothing comes to mind.
So, Noah, before we get started, we like to, you know, ask our guests, what is something that is recently alarming you? What is keeping you up at night?
Well, here's something. I've talked to maybe like 4 or 5 people in the last few weeks. Everybody who's gone to the dentist, and everyone has been told that they've been grinding their teeth. People that have previously been, no grinders or whatever you would call them. I don't know. Sorry. I was
low
trying
grinders,
to be funny.
Too.
There's low grinders.
And then there's no grinders. There's no, that's right.
And then there's show grinders who they grind their teeth, but it's just sort of like for show.
For show. Yeah. For show. Right. But I think it goes deep. I think it's really indicative of a lot of stress that people are going through.
I'd be curious to see, you know, what kind of teeth
people have, you know, in fossils, like after we all die and, you know, the future finds our teeth in fossils, right. Like the evolution of teeth.
Right. Mm.
They'll just be flat and they'll know that these are the generation that lived through 2020.
Post-2020.
And the death of Quibi.
Do you grind your teeth, Noah? Are you a show grinder or a no grinder?
I have never ground my teeth before.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But recently, yes, I have.
You find yourself during the day, because I do that a little bit at night. Sometimes I'll wake up with jaw pain.
It's a nighttime thing. It's a sleep thing, I think.
Yeah.
For most people. But I think we're going to see an article. I think something's going to come like teeth, you know, people's dental health, mental and dental health. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, something to look out for and possibly a future episode on our show.
And then you'll get the people who are pro grinders. You'll get like, so there's no grinders, show grinders. All right, I'm over.
Okay, thank you, Chris. This is the perfect transition because... you know, we need to start talking about Quibi, and boy, what a grind.
That was.
God, nice one.
That was
Did you
nice.
Like it?
That was good. I really like that.
What a grind.
Now, I have a little bit of a timeline that we can discuss, but we were, just before we started recording, we were kind of jumping into we were reading the list of shows, mm-hmm. and Chris, you were saying that you're actually... interested in some of these projects you wish you had watched.
Well, part of the Quibi experience was going to be the way you hold your phone could affect how you're viewing. So Soderbergh had this idea. You guys you're going to talk about it in the opening, where if you move your phone up, you can see this guy who's sort of in a survival situation. You can see the view from his phone, or you can see the view that he has or whatever. Like, and then also the Steven Spielberg one where you can only watch it if it's dark. That's like, to me, that's a cool idea.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
High concept.
Totally. Sort of interactive. And it's like, you can't watch, you know, not being able to watch a horror movie during the day, like a wuss.
Or just go into a dark room.
Yeah, that's...
You're trying to trick Spielberg.
Yeah, I'm trying to game the Quibi system.
Or yeah, you could put a blanket just over where your phone is being.
I don't know.
Carry
if they can
a kitchen
track it
towel
like that.
Around and sort of.
Or if you can't wait, you just fly to a different time zone where it is night, so you can keep watching continuously and be like, haha.
Well, if you're spending as much as the Quibi people spent, you could probably spend money on the private plane.
You could just buy Spielberg.
So you were saying that you had read some article. I stopped you, and now I wish I hadn't, because now I forget where we were going with that.
Oh, I was talking about the origin of the name Quibi,
right?
And they had they get the brain trust together to go, we need a name like Kleenex, where it just, you know what, you know, Xerox. It's going to like take over like the whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I think before Quibi, they had Omakase was the name,
right?
Mm-hmm. Which is ridiculous.
Which is already taken.
Yeah.
And between then, those two, I like Quibi.
I like Quibi over Omakase, but even Quibi is a problem already. Short for quick bite. Would you eat at a restaurant called Quick Bite?
It's for people on the go.
Well, yeah, I guess that's a good point, Noah. You know, if they were trying to make it Kleenex style, you know, as big as Kleenex, then it would be like you'd be watching on your phone and be like, shh, I'm quibbying.
Yeah, they have to verb it out, but it doesn't verb well.
It doesn't verb well. Can we put that up on the board?
Sure. Let's start off with just the problematic name, I guess.
Got it.
And... let's talk about the timeline, because here's how it goes down. So Quibi launches on April 6, 2020. It's number 3 in the Apple App Store. Then less than a week after launching, Quibi CEO Whitman announces that Quibi would be formatted for the TV eventually, abandoning initial hook. Okay. By April 16, only 10 days after launching, Quibi has dropped out of the top 70 in the App Store.
Ouch.
10 days. By June, Quibi was asking executives to take a 10% pay cut.
Ouch.
To avoid layoffs, with Katzenberg citing the pandemic as responsible for everything that has gone wrong.
Wait. Can I just stop you for 1 second?
Please.
I would really like, I know the pandemic is going to go on the board, but it's not, to me, I'll just say it like at the top.
Wow.
The pandemic is not the reason that, to me, that Quibi failed. Okay. It's good timing for them, but no way.
It's a good scapegoat.
Yeah. It's only good timing because, right, exactly, it's a scapegoat, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so for...
It needs to go up on the board.
No is on the record for no pandemic, but it's going to go up on the board, and, you know, we're going to talk about it.
Has to be on the board. Should be.
But for the record.
For the record.
Okay, so then July comes as the first 90-day free trials ended... Because they had started, everyone got 90 days free, and then you had to opt in to pay the $5 or $8 monthly. As they ended, The Verge reported that only about 8% converted into paid subscriptions.
Ooh. And to know, too, all 8% were people that just forgot to unclick the box.
You're probably right. That's probably
I'm sure there is a percentage of that.
Yeah, I'd like to know what the rate of return on people exactly who just sort of passively agree to be a part of this.
Honestly, that's impressive that only 8%, you know, that how low it is actually very impressive because I would think that more than 8% of people, you know, forgot to take their credit card off.
Mm-hmm. You could make the argument that people were not subscribing because pandemic and funds are tight, but then like the alternative to that is that it was surging for things like Disney Plus and all these other new streaming things that were coming out.
Yeah. So the October 21, as we know, it was Quibi announces that it's shutting down completely. It's only 6 months after. And you know, I did feel bad for Quibi because, you know, I'm just like, oh, what a loss. Like, you know, so much potential that could have been, you know, so much money that was spent trying to, you know, push money into the entertainment business, you know. And then when I read about the song that Katzenberg suggested that staffers listen to as like solace, I get angry again.
I don't know the song. I should have listened to the song. What makes you angry about it?
Yeah, please. I want to know what. I want to know that as well.
I'm just like, I don't know the song either, but don't suggest, don't suggest any song to comfort. Like, is there a song in this scenario, Noah, that you can think of that would actually help the situation? Mm. Is there any song?
Imagine, maybe.
Well, no, it did. No, remember the fiasco that the Imagine video was during the pandemic?
No, I forgot about that. The other great tragedy of 2020. Yeah. Well, he's suggesting that people listen to it, not that they send a group text to like the famous people chain. And
Right.
Although that would have been amazing. And I probably would have paid. I probably would have signed up to be a premium subscriber to watch it.
I feel like it speaks to a certain level of like hubris where it's like they're going to create this big old company and it's never going to fail. And then it fails. And they're like, it failed. So listen to this song. This is how you should deal with it. It's like telling.
Yes, Clayton, thank you. That's what's upsetting about it.
I think you're hitting on a lot, though, like the giantness of the whole thing, the $1.75 billion, the egos, the hubris. Like, there's, to me, no worse idea than shoehorning creativity into technology. You know?
Why don't we put that up on the board?
Yeah, I like that.
I love that. And tell us why, Noah.
It's just the idea of like making something for a specific thing makes sense to me if you are someone like a TikTok person or a YouTube person that like are using the platform and figuring it out. But like to dedicate millions and billions of dollars to this idea that like, you know, Soderbergh's going to make a movie where you can flip the camera or Spielberg's going to make this movie that you can only watch in the dark. It's just like people don't want to watch that stuff. People want to watch what they watched last night. Today on the bus, and they're going to continue it later. Hmm. When does anybody be like, oh, this 10-minute show, I'm just going to bust this out right now? Like,
Well, it sounds like a chore. I got to bust out this 10-minute show.
Right. Yeah.
Like, that's not what I want to do with my downtime.
It's just also the idea before of, like, the in-between moments is something that only people who don't exist in the reality of the real world think that other people have. These in-between moments at the bank or at the cleaners, I saw Katzenberg say. It's like, nobody's... The only thing people are doing and looking at the cleaners are they're texting their friend going, like, this fucking line is so long. Like, no...
I feel like it's the in-between moments saying, like, there's something about saying... You know, like you have moments that are whatever and you choose to fill it with whatever, like you're either thinking about something, maybe you do watch something or text someone, but to come in and be like, we're going to claim your in-between moments and we're going to tell you like, this is how you do it.
Yeah.
Seems almost like it's manipulative. Like you feel coerced where it's like, no, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm not going to like sign up and pay to have my in-between moments organized for me.
Right.
So how do we encapsulate that into something to put on the board there? That, because I feel like that could get rolled up into hubris, but it's a very specific.
It's like you know what it is. It's controlling, right? It's like controlling the masses, the downtime of the masses.
It's like big brother, like Hollywood meets Silicon Valley, in this like incredible thing that only 10 people really want, but like. But it just rolled, you know, it just snowballed. Like, oh, these people are giving millions of dollars and these people. And oh, look at all these people who are wrapped up in it. It's almost
should
like...
Should we just put in between moments?
I think I can encapsulate this with, how about this? Consumer condescension.
Oh. Ooh.
I like that.
I love the double C, you know?
Well, my name's Chris and I come hard with those C's.
I like that.
I like that. Now, let's talk about the pandemic. It has to be spoken about. So initially, Quibi founders believed that the pandemic wouldn't affect the launching of their on-the-go company. This is according to the New York Times. Ms. Whitman said that she wasn't concerned about the crisis's effect on the startup's chances. Think about how often you use your phone when you're homebound, she said. Given the quality and quantity and convenience of Quibi, we think it comes at a time when people are looking for relief, looking for distraction, and looking to escape, Mr. Katzenberg said. By May 11th, Jeffrey Katzenberg was telling New York Times, I attribute everything that has gone wrong to coronavirus. Mr. Katzenberg said in a video interview.
So Noah's on one side of this issue. Katzenberg's on the other side.
It's just too good. It's too convenient.
Everything, but we own it. My hope, my belief was that there would still be many in-between moments while sheltering in place. The in-between moments are now sounding ridiculous. Okay,
we need a musical of in-between moments. The musical needs to come out.
That's a great idea.
Is it just talking about like number two? Like what? What is an in-between? An IBM, an in-between moment.
An IBM. Okay. Oh, there are still those. So he goes on to say, there are still those moments, but it's not the same. It's out of sync. So our in-between moments have now changed, is what he's saying. Now, this is according to Vulture. However, plenty of streaming companies saw the stay-at-home order as a boon. Instagram Live is surging and mobile phone use is up, with shocked iPhone users posting screen time reports graphing dramatic spikes. This is according to Forbes. Live streaming and video apps soared in popularity during the pandemic, as was the app economy as a whole. YouTube and TikTok now outrank the likes of Disney Plus and Netflix. Netflix, which were number one in 2017 through 2019 in terms of consumer spend among social communication and entertainment apps.
I want to say a lot, just like hearkening back to hubris, because something that I read from your research, Rebecca, and that relates to this, is that it's very telling that when they were asking the CEOs like Katzenberg and Whitman, like, what shows you're watching, you're making this huge thing for people to consume, like, what are your favorite shows? And it's like she couldn't answer. It was like, oh, I don't know. It's like a show about President Grant on the History Channel. It's like, whereas all
which
these
I was
other,
interested, I was like, oh, interesting. Sure.
But all these other companies, like they have like history and research and like interest and background in content. And these are people who don't really know much about content who are supposedly creating the biggest content game changer of the century.
Well, do they really not know about content though? I don't know.
Well, Katzenberg would know about content, right?
You know, there's sort of... It's interesting because, okay, so if you think about it, what do I do with my in-between moments? Actually, I am on TikTok. People love that TikTok now about, because mm-hmm. it just...
Your IBMs are consumed by TikTok.
My BMs and my IBMs are consumed by TikTok. but what I'm saying is that now TikTok is basically like has an algorithm which can tell what you like and sort of categorizes things, and it's like, oh, you like funny stuff, like you like sports mm-hmm. highlights sometimes, whatever. And then what Katzenberg tried to do is he tried to sidestep what the consumer was actually going to. So what I'm getting to is content is something that Katzenberg and all these executives he hired, yeah, they're familiar with, but I think that there's been a growing disinterest in basic content, content, traditional content, you know, like a show where, you know, that you saw on TV. People are more into these days real life, funny stuff that happens, like, you know, grainy videos of like whatever, news anchors falling down, or like,
I mean, that has always been popular.
Yes, that's true. Always makes me laugh.
But now, I think now even more so, people are sort of like groaning about old-fashioned content. And so maybe what I'm angling for here is like, maybe we should put old-fashioned content.
Oh,
up on
well,
the board.
That's interesting yeah. you say that, because yeah, I was going to put up doing it the old-fashioned way.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Vox writer Peter Kafka argued that Quibi's failure was because it tried to restore an old-fashioned and more ethical way of business, paying your content creators. So Vox says, I would like to see more Quibis in the future, not the concept or the execution, but the model, running a media business the old-fashioned way where you ask people to make something, pay them for it, and then try to resell that work to someone else. There's also the new and often much more successful way to run a media business. Get people to give you stuff for free, get people to consume that stuff for free, and sell their attention to advertisers. You may not want to call yourself a media business for strategic valuation or legal reasons, but you are most definitely in the media business. This has worked really, really well for YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook, mm-hmm. but it's not clear that the model that YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook use, which is dependent on ingesting as much free content as possible and distributing as widely and quickly as possible with as little input from the people who run those businesses as possible is good for the rest of us. But if you're going to dunk on Quibi for failing so big, so fast, at least give them this. They failed the old-fashioned way, which still has an upside.
Right. So distinction, though, we need to make between what he's talking about, which is old-fashioned way of doing business, which is paying people for content,
uh-huh.
and what I was just talking about, just old-fashioned like content, mm-hmm. right? Which is like these TV shows, this, you know, what's her name doing Judge Judy?
Chrissy Teigen.
Chrissy Teigen doing Judge Judy, or, you know, a show where Anna Kendrick is like, you know, a comedy show, dark comedy show where Anna Kendrick is like best friends with her boyfriend's sex doll or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like those are traditional narratives. That was what I was sort of talking about. But what Kafka makes a really good point here, and something that an issue I have with things like TikTok and YouTube or whatever is that these tech companies are making millions of dollars and they are not doing anything.
Right.
I mean, they just come up with the algorithm and people just run away with it on their own and they get paid for eyeballs.
I wonder how much Quibi looked at or could have learned from like the streaming music industry, because it seems like, you know, like that we've become so used to free content now, and that really hurt the music industry because everything went streaming and people were used to that. They are able to start like illegally downloading and then do free streaming. And it seems like Quibi was like set up in the same way, where it's like you gotta pay for this service, even though you're used to getting, you can get free stuff elsewhere. Like that's already kind of you have to sell that, right?
Mm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Spotify though, or digital streaming services have everything,
right?
You know, they have any music that you can want. They have the entire library. You're paying for that, or you're opting for the free with commercials. Quibi was only making things for themselves, only for this tech device, for the phone. My question is, like, were they thinking that there were social media applications to Quibi? Like, if that was part of it, it makes sense. But on the other hand, like, if they put Quibi on shows on TV or on other things, like, it would give the content more validation. Like, I feel like sequestering your Spielberg movie to a phone, it just doesn't really make any sense to me.
Yeah.
And also, it's like untested, you know, like, there's nothing that people already love. It's like, we don't know if it's a good new Spielberg thing. It's just his name. So it's not like there's like a Friends on there that you would love to sign up because you do like Friends and maybe you'll discover some new content.
Right.
You know, it's like all new.
I think that there's a lot of good stuff where I want to get all this up on the board. So make sure we have up there, Clayton, old-fashioned content, old-fashioned way of doing business.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
And content confusion. Is that something?
Content confusion. Ooh, that's interesting.
I like that.
Because that's what it's both.
That's what you were talking about,
C's.
Chris.
It's
like
two C's.
There's
two C's.
Content for social media.
Condescension.
Mm-hmm. Content for film, TV, the old way.
Right. I want to hit up on two things that we've talked about before we forget. First, something Noah mentioned, which I think could be put up on the board, which is no backlog. Quibi didn't have like a bunch of shows that were all of a sudden going to be on Quibi. Like, it didn't have the whole Friends archive.
Right, that Peacock gets.
Exactly, like other, you know.
It didn't have The Lion King.
It just had
Disney
their
Plus
own
gets.
Content, yeah, right. You know. So there was nothing to draw viewers other than like a potentially new show that they might like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's something to that. And number two, I want to talk about, we've already talked about this, but I'm thinking we could call it out of touch Hollywood hubris.
Mm, okay.
That's
and
good.
This is going on what you talked about, Clayton. Well, okay. So both Meg Whitman and Jeffrey Katzenberg have been criticized for being out of touch billionaires, moguls with little understanding of their audience. And it's easy to see why. This is what you were referencing, Clayton. This is a Vulture article that says Jeffrey Katzenberg originally wanted Quibi's name to be omakase, which is a term used to describe high quality sushi selected by the chef he enjoyed at least once a week at Nobu Malibu. when asked what TV shows she watches, Meg Whitman responded, "I'm not sure I'd classify myself as an entertainment enthusiast, but any particular shows she likes? Grant," she offered, "on the History Channel. It's about President Grant." I'm interested, but you
niche.
Know.
It's niche.
It's niche. according to an ex-Quibite, oh boy, that's what they're called, ex-Quibite to Vulture, they said, "A thing Jeffrey always says is, I'm not a child or a mother, but I made movies children and mothers loved. I know millennials better than millennials." The duo didn't say, okay, Noah's shaking
you can't
his head.
Say
just
that.
When you say that, you're just, that's what I was, it's, you can't say that.
It's like, again, it's like saying a ship is unsinkable or a building is fireproof.
Right.
It's not really the same thing, but
so
you're just setting yourself up.
All that goes to out of touch Hollywood hubris, which I agree.
Yes,
I think so. So this is according to TechCrunch. At the beginning of the year, Whitman touted the company's plans to spend up to $100,000 per minute of programming, $6 million per hour. The executive proudly contrasted the jaw-dropping sum to the estimated $500 to $5,000 an hour spent by YouTube creators.
So she's basically, she's like, look how cool it is that I'm wasting all this money.
Pretty much.
First of all,
burning it during the interview, just like lighting dollars on fire.
Like, isn't this cool? Like, we also have to just put Katzenberg and Whitman up on the board before we forget.
Yes, yes. Let's not forget, because I didn't have them on here. So good.
That could have been we have the occasional slip up. We call it the Kanye slip up. Is that what we call it? Because one time we did the Kanye and Taylor Swift.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Rivalry, and we didn't put Kanye up on the board. Is that right?
We've also done murders where we haven't put the person who the serial killer up on the board. Okay, but we digress. Three things we need to touch on, and then I just want to hear if we can move on. Bigger competition has to go up on the board, right? We're talking free apps like YouTube or TikTok. But Matt, they match the big budgets of top streaming services. In the end, Quibi couldn't compete with more established streaming services. This is obvious. Being unmemeable. So according to The Ringer, perhaps most ill-advisedly, while all that content may have been snackable, it wasn't shareable. Quibi viewers couldn't take a screenshot of a scene to text to friends, for example, nor could they so much as share with the within the app.
Oh, that's huge.
Yeah, that's all people are doing these days, yeah. Right?
They made an app for a phone without any social or sharing capabilities.
It's like when you guys share a song with me on Spotify, I have the Apple Music, and so I have to go and retype it into my Apple. I'd have to either download Spotify.
God forbid.
Okay, what's your point there? I don't know.
Well, I was just saying, if somebody wanted to share something from Quibi, they would have to download the app. You'd have to send to your friend, like, hey, can you download and pay $5 a month and you can see this funny clip? It's like, that's a tough sell,
right?
That's true.
Yeah.
So I also want to put up on the board the fact that mobile content is usually free.
Yeah.
Variety says, while Katzenberg had posited mobile videos as a white space ripe for taking, in reality, Quibi was also fighting for attention against a massive and growing ecosystem of mobile video apps like TikTok, Instagram, Snapchat, and YouTube that provided for free a virtually endless stream of short-form form entertainment. Vulture linked Quibi's failure to the story of McDonald's Arch Deluxe Burger.
Oh, right.
Okay, this is interesting. Vulture says, in 1996, McDonald's introduced the Arch Deluxe, a hamburger that was more expensive than its other burgers. Convinced that a premium product would appeal to an older demographic of urban sophisticates, McDonald's spent more than $150 million on ad campaigns, an enormous sum at the time. As it turned out, the chain's existing customers liked McDonald's for its cheapness. And less price-sensitive non-customers preferred to eat somewhere other than a fast food joint. 4 years later, amid anemic demand, the Arch Deluxe was discontinued.
I remember.
We had a new product, Katzenberg said in an interview with CNBC. We asked people to pay for it before they actually understood what it was. I think we thought there would be easier adoption by people to do it.
We like YouTube and TikTok for its freeness.
Yeah.
That's part of it for us.
I think that Quibi was just asking people to do too much. Right. Download this thing, pay for it. It's stuff you've never seen. You can't, like, it's just, it's butting up against all the stuff that has everything. Like, Netflix and Disney Plus are successful, and HBO Max or whatever are successful because they make great original content and they have great catalogs of stuff.
So we put the concept was a big ask on the board, like just like a big ask in general.
A big ask.
I like big ask.
I didn't mean that. I think that's a really great point, that it's requiring a lot of someone to like get behind. It's not like,
especially when consumers these days, everything is just, it just pops right up in your email and then it just like pops right up and you can just click it and then it's over. You got what you wanted.
I know. Like, I think you guys are right. And I also just want to point out that as creators, people who, you know, are working in the industry, I do appreciate them wanting to pay for content.
Yes,
you know,
100%.
Yes, yeah. I second that, and I had that in sort of the back of my mind as wanting to sort of discuss. But go ahead.
I just think that it's, you know, it's the other side that nobody talks about, which is that there's a lot of free content out there, and it is scary how much it's being consumed. And, you know, people who are creatives or artists, you know, are being left behind.
Well, this goes into a bigger subject, which is really about consumerism, because we want things as cheap as possible, you know, and we don't want to have to pay for things. And then we complain when we can't get those things
right,
affordable. You know, like it's a bigger, like, and then where are we getting it and who's paying for it and who's working to do those things? You know, Mia, but, all about consumerism.
As far as like creatives getting paid to do stuff, like, I think they shortchange the creative people because they, you know, no one's going to say no to like, here's a bunch of money to make the thing that you want to make. Everyone be great. I'll give it a shot. I sold this show to Quibi. I'm going to do it. You know, everybody's going to give it a shot. But to just stick it into that lane, like if they were to re-announce Quibi and be like, this is an all new channel with all new content, it's like MTV or Comedy Central, like you know, just launch a thing with all these shows. It gives it more of a, like, it's more interesting, like, oh, cool, they're trying something, you know, like, and then you can cross over to all the platforms. But they just, I don't know, they just missed like the overall, I think they just got so locked into this thing. Their idea that it's going to be all these things, but really just has to be good at like one thing. Like if they just made great content, it would have been fine, I think.
Yeah. I think they got thrown off by phone culture. I just feel like they got obsessed with wanting to produce stuff that you could watch on your phone versus just produce stuff that you could watch that was good.
That sort of goes back to what Noah said before, shoehorning creativity into technology, right?
Yeah.
Where they tried to just make it about the phone.
Yeah. I think we're ready to maybe start discussing some things that we can start knocking off the list. So let's take a quick break and then we'll come back.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, hit us, Chris.
Okay, so who's to blame for the death of Quibi? Problematic name, pandemic, shoehorning creativity into technology, in-between moments, consumer condescension, doing it the old-fashioned way, old-fashioned content, content confusion, no backlog of popular content, out-of-touch Hollywood hubris, Katzenberg and Whitman, bigger competition from the likes of YouTube and TikTok, unshareable, not social media friendly, charging for mobile content, or the big ask concept. big ask.
Big ask.
I must say, these are the most sort of conceptual like list of things to blame we've ever had on the board.
Well, the whole thing is so high concept anyway.
Yeah, it's true. That's fair.
It's appropriate. And it's also Noah's our guest, so.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Conceptual. We're thinking big.
Yeah, high concept.
He's a high concept guy.
Let's see. What can we start crossing off the list?
Well, I know what Noah's going to say.
What? The pandemic?
The pandy.
Well, I don't think they're totally not to blame.
Definitely didn't help.
Is this like, because all of these things are to blame. We're looking for like the top, the number one contender.
Yes.
Exactly.
We put the number one in jail and the number two, we give the big slap to.
All right. Well, I would say for me, the pandemic is not a number one contender.
But does it deserve to get taken off the list right now? I feel like, you know, process of elimination, it's hard because, well, maybe we should start folding things into one another.
Yeah, we have some similar concepts, I think.
Yeah.
Like consumer condescension can be folded into out-of-touch Hollywood hubris or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Yes. Consumer, what do you think?
I was going to say Katzenberg and Whitman can roll into some of that stuff.
Into out-of-touch Hollywood hubris?
Yeah,
okay. I agree. And I also think that we can take off the problematic name. I just think other things.
I would kind of push back against that. The name, I think, was a huge problem.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
it didn't verb well. That's what we wrote down.
It didn't verb well, but also, and that's true, but also, like, Katzenberg's idea was high-quality content, right? That was made, could be consumed quickly. Quibi doesn't tell me that. Quibi, quick bites, even when you know what it is, quick bites doesn't tell me that it's high quality content. In fact, it probably suggests the opposite, that it's just like quick bites. It's like, it's almost fast food.
Should have called it Amuse Bouche, right? That's that's what he was looking for.
Whoa.
You should have been in the room.
Where were you?
I know. You should have
been.
You could
have saved 1.75.
I was in an in-between moment. I couldn't.
He was having an IBM.
Okay. So,
you want to keep it on the board?
Yeah,
okay.
Let's keep it up.
Go. I'm undecided. Go on, Rebecca.
Well, doing it the old-fashioned way and old-fashioned content, I feel like we can fold old-fashioned content into doing it the old-fashioned way. And I think that all folds into content confusion because they just didn't know what to do with the with their concept and with the content that they had.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know how to marry it.
Yeah, it for me, with so many sort of high concept things on the board, it does, like, I do, I'm kind of, my mind is going to what are the most to blame.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that sort of have come up for me are the uncharitability of it and the old-fashioned Hollywood hubris approach, which unfortunately, like you said, that's the more just way of going about things, I guess. Mm-hmm. Or maybe that's not old-fashioned.
Well, I don't think when we were saying out of touch Hollywood hubris, we weren't talking necessarily about the specifics of like paying creators for their content. It was more about just
big
moguls who don't necessarily, they're not in touch. They think they know millennials better than anyone, like that kind of.
Yeah. Which comes from Katzenberg and Whitman. I feel like you can push a lot of that, you know, touch Hollywood hubris, Katzenberg and Whitman, old fashioned way. All this stuff is just kind of like Katzenberg and Whitman.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Top down. They're unflappable, right? They're, mm-hmm. you know, we're going to do this. We have this big high concept. We're going to get everybody because we have the best phone books in the world. No one's going to say no to us.
Mm-hmm. Should we put them? We cross them off the list.
We should put them back on and fold content confusion, no backlog of popular content, and out of touch Hollywood hubris into them.
Okay, that's fair.
I would say the bigger competition thing you can get rid of because I don't think that was really a factor.
Yeah, they seem to do. I mean, yeah, I think you're right because again, there were the Netflixes and the HBO Maxes and the, you know, all the other
Right. It's not like there was just one type of bigger competition. There was like the YouTube, which is like self-generated content, and then there was the like the scripted content. So it seems like they could have thrived if it was a different business model or approach.
Yeah.
So what we have left is the name Pandemic, shoehorning creativity into technology. I feel like we can fold that into Katzenberg and Whitman.
I agree with that.
Moments, we still have up on the board. Unshareable, not social media friendly. Charging for the mobile content. And the big ask. I think we can actually fold charging for mobile content into the big ask. Because that's it, right?
I like that.
Yep. Agreed.
I mean, the big ask you can also put, I mean, if we're putting Katzenberg and Whitman and basically their decisions, which as we can see, as we went through this list, they made a lot of decisions they made and they sort of made really strong decisions one mm-hmm. particular way. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the big ask is another thing that is just like,
that was their concept.
Yeah. That was part of what they came up with. It was just to ask.
I agree.
You don't get to choose the next latest technology thing. It's a lot like saying, like, I know a lot about millenniums. Like, when you come out and you're like, this is going to be the next big tech thing, it's just not. It just never is. Like, the tech right. has to rise. The people tell you what's going to happen. Like, you can watch it rise from the bottom of the app charts to the top. Anybody coming out swinging, I'm the Hollywood producer. I turned eBay around. Here's the thing you're going to listen to and watch. People in LA and New York might pay attention to that, but like no one else in the country cares mm-hmm. about
Fair point.
Anything that any although of I guess is.
In Silicon Valley it's like fake it till you make it, right? So you like you have to kind of come off like this is the next big thing and hope that it works out. Do you feel like they were pushing that, or do you think it really is just like they're so established that they just think nothing they could touch
I think
would
they
fail?
Thought that they were impervious to failure.
Mm.
There's hubris there.
I mean, there's another way to look at it. Like, you can also just say, well, they took a huge swing.
And
they made a huge bet. Like, sometimes you bet on the 50-to-1 shot at the racetrack. And these people put all of their money on a really slow horse that they were like, look, if it comes in, we are going to be even more rich than we were before. And we can afford to make that kind of bet.
Yeah.
They did have a ton of investors. It wasn't just their own cash.
Yeah, and Katzenberg, I listened to his, he was on the Kara Swisher's podcast this morning on the New York Times, and he said what he's most proud of now is that they returned hundreds of millions of dollars and that they didn't burn it into the ground and run it out.
Hmm.
So at the point that they stopped it so that they could give people their money back, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you also know what that did was it stopped, there were deals that were just, you know, people who had sold stuff and shows that were mid-production, it was just like, it's over.
But they pocketed money still.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, of course.
That's true.
So I feel like what we're talking about, though, going back to what Noah was saying about pandemic, it doesn't seem like we're talking about pandemic. It seems like it's more related to them. So
yeah,
it brings
I think
back
we
the question.
Can, yeah.
Thank okay. you. Thank you.
Noah was suffering through that.
Just,
I also sadly think that as much as I love the new term IBM's in between moments, I don't think that that is to blame.
I think that's right. Folded up in the detachment from reality.
Yeah, I think so too. So what are we going to do here? We've got the name, Katzenberg and Whitman, and the unshareability. I can't believe these are the last three that we ended up with.
Can I make a pitch real quick? I think I want to bring back to life the no backlog of popular content. I think that could have been a difference maker.
I think so too. Mm-hmm.
And I think first of all, Netflix got ahead of everybody, right? They were the first ones. And now when people say, I'm going to Netflix something, it's they got that verb.
Mm-hmm.
It does verb well. Netflix does verb well.
Yeah,
Netflix and chill.
TikTok that. TikTok it.
But wait, before...
Yeah.
So, but all the other premium streaming services that came out since have had... Well, except maybe Hulu, which got started early too. But all of them have had this backlog, right, of something that they can basically say, okay, if you want to watch The Office, you have to sign up for Peacock.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And I think that that's just huge for people. So I kind of want to bring that back to life. And I just want it to be in that top two. I don't know, somewhere.
I dig that.
I feel better about that than the problematic name being in the top two. You know what I mean?
This might be controversial, but I don't like the name TikTok.
Oh, wow. Another great thing I read about Jeffrey Katzenberg is that in the meeting, I think that he was shutting down Quibi, he made some mention of the fact that he failed. He had an opportunity to, but did not invest in TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And someone, a Quibbyite or whatever.
Quibbyte.
It's like, Quibbyite. I'm really confused as to why he would share that information.
Ooh. Right. You know, that feels like hubris too. Something.
Yes. It feels like this was his effort to
right
a wrong or something.
This is what I think. Yeah, this is what I think we should do here. I think that we should slap the backlog of popular content. And I think that we should send Katzenberg and Whitman's hubris to the alarmist jail.
Mm-hmm.
I think that sounds pretty good to me.
It might prevent
all of us from getting hired by them in the future, which is just, I guess, part of the territory.
You
when
just
you
blame
do the alarmist.
Me, though. I don't. You know, it's my. I came in with the vendetta. You guys are, you know.
Thanks. Noah, this Thanks is what Noah wants. Oh, man.
Thanks for taking the bullet for us, Noah.
Happy to.
All right. I think we got to call it. No backlog of popular content. You're getting the big slap. Katzenberg and Whitman's hubris. You're going to the alarmist jail. Well, Noah, you know, thank you so much for helping us get to the bottom of the 2020, you know, the worst tragedy of 2020.
Thanks so much for calling on me to rant for an hour. It's really, thank you. My wife is going, oh good, he's occupied. I don't have to hear about his Jeffrey Katzenberg for an hour.
I don't.
Noah texted me asking what he should do to prepare for being a guest. And I said, you have to watch the entire catalog of Quibi. So we want to thank him for watching all of those Quibi shows.
He's been a busy man.
Thank you.
Noah's our first also double dip. He's been an expert and now a guest.
That's never happened before.
Wow.
Amazing. Yes.
So thank you, Noah,
because you're...
You're an all-star. And we hope that you enjoy your IBMs.
Yeah.
just the fact that we're doing this right now, like
that.
No one at the meeting goes, excuse me. I just in my mind put IBM together in between moments. And it's not a good thing.
You should have been there.
Well, maybe the Katzenberg and Whitman are just so... fear-mongering that nobody wanted to speak up and say, hey, this...
Ooh. Well, that lends to their hubris as well.
That goes to
I was just I was putting a bow tie on it for you guys.
Boom. Well, no, we're going to fade out this conversation is how we're going to get out of this
episode.
Yeah,
this is never ending.
Bow, wow, jigga, bow, bow, bow.
After the death of Quibi, on January 8th, 2021, Roku snapped up the rights to a majority of Quibi's portfolio, giving more than 75 shows a new platform. A source familiar with the agreement said Roku paid significantly less than $100 million, equivalent to about 16 hours of content if you use Katzenberg's self-proclaimed $6 million per hour budget for the Quibi library. In the spring and summer of 2021, Roku debuted over 50 of Quibi's shows, now rebranded as Roku Originals. All shows were available to stream on mobile devices or TV, and for free with ads. The company announced that the former Quibi shows quickly became the top 10 most watched programs on the Roku channel. That summer, three of Quibi's shows received a total of 8 2021 Emmy Award nominations. Beyond the Grave, Quibi received more nominations than Fox, Paramount Plus, or Showtime. Vote for who you think is to blame by going to thealarmistpodcast.com. Follow us at The Alarmist The on Twitter, at The Alarmist Podcast on Instagram, or email us at thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com. Tune in next week. We'll be discussing Biosphere 2.
Powered by Acast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.